knows a debt below that only I can pay. But I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be gone for a little while, but one day I'm coming back. Oh, I'll be back. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus told his men, you'll see the Son betrayed there, and there I'll be condemned. You'll see them mock me and curse me. You'll see me crucified. You'll see me suffer in agony. And there you'll see me die. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. Just in a few short days, and I'll be back. They laid my sweet Jesus in the tomb. He got up, took a trip down below. He showed the devil what he had lost, the battle for man's soul. I believe as he took those keys, he looked the devil right in the eye. He said, the grave cannot hold me. I'm going back to the Lord. So devil, just keep that in mind. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be gone for a season, oh boy. But one day I'm coming back. Oh, I'll be back.
Here's his promise.
One day on a hillside, as Jesus rose in the clouds, the words he spoke came flooding back to some young men in the crowd. He said, I go to prepare a place. I'll be back again. Gonna take my people to a land where joy shall never end. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. I'll be gone for a little while, but one day I'm coming back. Oh, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I hope you're ready to meet me, for one day I'm coming back. Oh, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. Christians, don't lose faith, 'cause I'm soon coming back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. What a promise. Woo. Yeah. I hope we all get as excited as Ariana. She's told me she is excited. And she's taking gymnastics. How exciting is it to go tell somebody how to leave here and go to heaven? Got the directions right here. On Wednesday nights, hey, kids, children's church already gone. Go that way. Go that way. Hurry. Catch them. Oh, she wants to stay here and look at me. That's okay, honey. That's better. Okay. Now, on Wednesday night, as you know, we finished the book of James. Y'all, if you came for the book of James, you get a degree in the book of James. But now on Wednesday night, I won't be taking another book for a little while. I'm actually going to do something that a lot of people really want to know about and get involved in, and that is, how do I win a person to Christ? How do I engage? There's a good word. How do I engage a person in a conversation about the Lord? And I'm going to be working on that for a few weeks. So if you'll start coming on Wednesday night, you won't miss a thing. I'll give you tips and clues and stuff that'll just thrill you to death, and you'll go out so courageous and bold. I see some of you smiling. Some of you scared to death. Don't be. If you've got some ways to do it, it makes it a whole lot easier. So come on Wednesday night, and we're going to be discussing that according to the Word. I'm not giving you what I think. I couldn't teach you how I do it. I just teach you what the Bible says, and we'll take that, and I promise you, you'll be glad that you came. And I'm doing that because of September and October. We're going into 2 months here, the middle of September, when we're going to have our record Sunday on the 15th of September. And then the whole month of October, we're going to be working each Sunday on different titles for our Sundays, and we'll just have some things to do. So if you have any helps that you'd like to share, things that you think would help us to get out and go and grow, then see me and let me know. I'd like to know. Especially young people's ideas, you know. I like to get some youth ideas. How many of y'all are youth? Carolyn Whaley, you're a youth, aren't you, honey? I love to look back there and see Carolyn Whaley on the back seat. And she's not back there because she's backslid. She's back there because that's the best seat in the house. In 2 Kings, chapter 24, begin reading at verse 10. How many of y'all want to live a blessed life? Now, how many of y'all want to live like you know you're living a blessed life? See, there's two different things there. We're all blessed. I mean, we're blessed to be here, but living blessed is another thing. And if we're not living blessed, we're living defeated. And I don't like the word defeated, do you? I do not. Don't want to live defeated at all. I want to live blessed because I am. Are we there? Okay, verse 10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the city, and his servants did besiege it. Is that saying the same thing, those two verses? Pretty much, isn't it? But there is a difference. The Lord's not going to repeat himself in a different way. Or does he? Watch what happens here. He says, at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Then in verse 11 he says, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the city. So we didn't see Nebuchadnezzar in the background watching his servants go besiege a city. He was right there. He was part of the besieging folks. He was. And his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. He kind of went out and waving a white flag. I hope and pray that we're Christian enough that we don't go waving a white flag toward Satan. When Satan brings a war in your life or a battle in your life, don't raise the white flag. You don't have to. You don't have to. But he did. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, just took everything they had. By the way, when Satan starts messing with your life, he'll take everything you've got. He doesn't want to leave you with a thing. He'll leave you penniless. He'll leave you emotionless. He will. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut it in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon king of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths, and that's not Johnny. A smith is a talented person. Thus we have goldsmiths. What's the smith who shoes horses? I knew y'all'd know that. None remained, emptied. That's like us being relieved of all of our Sunday school teachers and all of our secretaries and treasurers and nursery workers and children's church workers. And it's like they just go away and disappear. How would you like that? Wouldn't be good for our church, would it? Well, it certainly wasn't good for these. What he was doing, he was taking everybody that would be of use to him. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty men, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now here is the key to this message. Before this, they were living blessed lives. They were blessed. But when they were taken into captivity, they were defeated. And they lived defeated. And we'll, by the time this message is over, you'll see how that happened. Let's bow our heads just for a second and ask the Lord to bless this message today. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for showing us where we were, where we are, and where we can be. Lord, we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that today you'll give us something that we can take away from this building into our everyday lives, and that we can be what you want us to be. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This was a very sad time in the life of Israel. God's people. Don't forget that. They were God's people. And they were a blessed people. But at this particular time, they were taken. I believe this in part was because they had failed God at Kadesh. And he was allowing them. God allows. He has different ways in which he deals with us. And he will allow things to happen in our lives just so that he can get our attention. There were different types of people in this group of people here in this particular book, in this chapter. Actually, four classes of people. There were the wanderers. Those were the wanderers in the wilderness. There were the dwellers in Canaan. And there were the inhabitants of Egypt. And then there were the captives in Babylon. That's your four different types of people. We're mainly concerned about the captives in Babylon because we're going to take a look at how they became captive. Now, to become captive, you don't have to be taken by another country. You can be taken captive in your own personal life. And Satan is a master at taking us captive. He is. But here's how they lost the place of blessing. And the same way they lost the place of blessing is the same way that we lose the place of blessing. Now, this is a message where there's going to be scripture for everything I tell you. There's going to be scripture. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper and you want to write these down as to where they're found, you may want to go back at some other time and look at them. That would be fine. So I'll be giving you scripture for this. Here are the ways in which they became captives and lost their blessings and became a defeated people. And since we've already determined that we don't want to be a defeated people, we want to live as blessed people, here's some things that we need to be aware of that can happen. When you gave your life to the Lord, did you make a covenant with the Lord? We did. Now, a covenant is not a one-way street. A covenant is a two-way street. If you're going to make a covenant, there's going to be one on each side that you're going to lock this thing in. And so we did. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we came into a place of covenant with Him. Well, what happened to the children of Israel? They became covenant breakers. And if you break the covenant, watch what happens in Psalm 78:10. Here's what he has to say about that. In Psalm 78:10, he says, "They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law." Now, that simply says that what that book you've got in your hand, if you brought your Bible, if you didn't, I know it's up here on the screen. But if you, not that verse, but the other verses I just read, I hope they were. Fire that boy. Okay. "And they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law." I didn't mean to say that with his mama sitting here, but let him know he's been fired. Did you catch that? The two things that they're related. If you're not keeping the covenant of God, you're not walking in His law, because He says they refuse to walk in His law. Now, the covenant and the law are the same thing. Statutes and law, covenant, it's all the same thing. So they kept not His word. If we know what His word says and we don't keep it, we're breaking it. Because we made a covenant with Him when we accepted Him as our Savior that we would use His holy word as our direction for life. We did. And if you didn't, you need to go back and make sure you've signed that covenant, because that's what we did. This is His law, His word, His book, His statutes. And so we said, yes, we will. Then what happens if we don't keep His covenant and we don't walk in His law? We do what it says in verse 11. We forget His works. If you're not keeping up with what He's saying, if you don't love Him enough to keep up with what He's saying to us, you're going to not look at what He did. You're going to forget as to what He's done, not only in your life, but in other people's lives. He's been faithful to work in our lives, to bless us. And it says, "And forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them." There wasn't anything that He hadn't done that wasn't for them. Whatever God created, He created for you. When you woke up this morning and you could see the daylight of another day, He did that for you. He did that for me. He blessed you today by allowing you to get up breathing, being able to go to the breakfast table, put your clothes on, get in the car, and come to the house of God to worship the Creator of it all. We're blessed to do that. So what they did, they forgot that. They forgot the covenant they had made. They didn't walk in His law anymore. They just forgot His words. They forgot His works. They just forgot Him. And when you do that, folks, you're not going to live a blessed life, because He's the reason that we live a blessed life. And so they became covenant breakers. We need to be careful about that. And they refused to be reproved. They refused to be reproved. Watch this. In Nehemiah 9, 16 and 17. Nehemiah 9, 16 and 17. I'll give you time to get there. Are you there? Say yes. I'm not. But I'll get there. I've got them all marked. Don't worry. Well, anybody got it? Read it.
But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments.
That's exactly what it says. What did they do? They refused to be reproved. When God says something to us to reprove us, we want to stiffen our necks. We want to bend our backs and say no and stiffen up and say, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to do what you say. Folks, when we get there, we've already gone past the first one. We've already been covenant breakers and not walking in his law. Now we're going to refuse to hear what he has to say to us that will infringe on how we want to live our lives. Now, I know this is tough because we're human beings, but folks, nobody ever said that living the Christian life was going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have to get rid of the pride, take on some humility, and say, God, teach me. And by teaching us, he's going to have to bring out his law and do that. So we can't refuse to be reproved and be a happy, blessed people. We can't do it. Then they became idolaters. Now, I know that most of you are saying, I am not an idolater and I won't be an idolater. But what will happen is you will be an idolater if you don't walk in his law, if you refuse to be told what he wants us to do. If we go that place, we're going to take on other gods. We are. We're going. When we start living our own life, that's exactly what we do. So he said in Jeremiah 11:10, and they turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. Because see, iniquities never changes. It's the same with your forefathers. It's the same with you. It'll be the same with your children, your grandchildren. Iniquity is iniquity. And they turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods, plural. Man's never satisfied with one god. No, when you start seeking other gods, you'll seek gods. So it says, and they went after other gods to serve them, not just to view them and see them, but to serve them. That gets pretty deep, doesn't it? That you don't just have a little statue in your house and that becomes your God. No, it's other things that we actually serve that takes our time and our attention. And they begin to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their forefathers. It just led one right after the other. And this is exactly where we get to the place to where we're not living blessed anymore. We're living defeated. And if you woke up this morning and you said, I don't know if I want to go to church or not, that's possible. I did that one time and my wife said, no, Dan, you have to go. You're the pastor. We're all human, right? Yeah. But they became idolaters. They took on other gods. But then there was another one in Judges 3, 5 and 6. And this is how they led into bigger things. That's why they call it backsliding today. That's why we use the word backsliding. Because backsliding is a continual going backwards. It's not just a movement on level ground. And it's a backsliding. You're going downhill all the way. Sliding. They were sliding. When they chose to become covenant breakers and they chose not to live by the word of God, they refused the reproof that God gave them. They became idolaters. And then they began to compromise the things that they'd already known that gave them the blessings of God. If you compromise, you're not going to be happy. A Christian who knows where they need to be and they compromise where they are, they're not going to be happy. He says that they compromise with the other nations. Now, here's how they did it. This won't be something that probably you would be concerned with, but if you'll turn to Judges 3, look at verse 5 and 6. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. Now, we don't have any of those in Johnson City, I don't believe, or Elizabethan or Jonesboro or any other place around here. But the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Those all live in gray. That's a bunch of people, wasn't it? They weren't supposed to be there and do what they did. Here's what they did. They compromised. God's law was said, you don't mingle, you don't mess with them. You don't do it. You just don't do it. But since they'd already said, you're not going to tell me how to live, well, then they compromised. If you're going to tell God, God, don't let me read your word and then think I'm going to live by it, because I'm not going to do that. I'm going to compromise. Compromise means that you get what you want. Really? Yeah. That's the reason we compromise. And they took their daughters to be their wives. Wasn't supposed to, but they did. And gave their daughters to their sons. And served who? Their gods. Isn't that what happens? Is that once we break loose and go in Satan's direction, we do what he wants. That's where you lose the blessing. That's why you're not a happy Christian, and you're not going to take that to someone else and make them think you're a happy Christian when you're not a happy Christian. We've already done all these things. So does it slow us down as a Christian, not living a blessed life? Sure, absolutely does. Absolutely does. So here's what happens now when you lose the blessings. Here are the things you lose. I mentioned this not too long ago, because when I read this, I always think of the bike I ride. The bike I ride is called a Triumph, and Triumph is used in the Bible. It's only one mentioned, sorry, John, in the Bible. But in their first battle in Canaan, they gained victory by obeying what God had to say. Now, if I were to ask everyone in here this morning, I'm not going to, because this is very personal between you and God. That's why your faithful, loyal Christians live that way, is because it's between them and God. They're not doing it to please someone else. They're doing it because they're doing it between them and God. They're reading his word, they're listening to his word, and they're doing what he says. But when we don't, we lose that, because we don't have that victory life. That's the blessed life, isn't it? To live and triumph, to know that you have triumphed over an issue you've had, doesn't mean you won't have them. You will have them. That's where you get the triumph. If you never have an issue to overcome, you'll never know the triumph. And that's the good thing about, I guess, being a human being, is you're going to be inundated with areas of your life where you need to triumph over that. You need to win. You need to have a victory there. And God wants to make sure that you have that victory. But here in the first battle they had in Canaan, they lived that way, because God had said, here's what I want you to do. And you remember the battle very well, because it was a battle of Jericho. And when he said, here's how you're going to win this battle, and he told them, and you all know about the marching around the walls and the trumpet, and you know all that story. You were told that when you were 6 years old in Sunday school, if you were there. Well, they won. When the walls fell, they screamed, hallelujah, we won. They were victorious. They were blessed. They were living the blessed life. It wasn't two or three chapters over from there. that you'll read. In Joshua 6, we read about the wall. In Joshua 10, we find that they quit fighting. They quit listening to God. They just let God go do what he was going to do. And whatever he did, that's okay with them. Well, they weren't triumphant anymore because they didn't experience that. They weren't there. They didn't know what to ask for. They didn't know when to ask for it. They were a blessed people, and then they were not a blessed people. Now, you've probably lived both ways. You've probably lived a blessed life, and you've probably lived a defeated life. Which one do you want? Whichever one you want, that's the way you'll go. Now, don't fool yourself and say, well, I just don't know how to get there. He tells us how to get there. He's telling us this morning how to live the blessed life, the life of victory, the life of triumph. And you may not realize this, but there is a vegetable that we eat that has a lot to do with the Bible. And it's called corn. How many of y'all like corn on the cob? Boil for 20 minutes with a half a stick of butter in the water. You like that, don't you? It is good stuff. Well, watch this. Here's what happened. They lost the blessing of the corn. You say, I never heard of that in my life. Well, if you'll turn to Hosea 2:8. Hosea 2:8. Just turn there, if you will, or he'll put it up. Here's what it says. For she did not know that I gave her corn, wine, and oil. Now, all three of these are necessary to life. They support your life. He says, for she did not know that I gave her corn, wine, and oil, and multiplied. That and is the mayonnaise on the tomato sandwich. Remember that, okay? And multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Oh, no, surely not. The essentials for life, the necessary things for life, we would use that for someone except him? When God blesses you with a job, and you make a paycheck, and you wouldn't remember him on a Sunday morning when the tithe plate comes around? You say, now you're meddling. No, I'm not. No, I'm not, folks. It's part of his word. And if you don't want to hear it, you're not going to be blessed, I'm telling you. I remember the old preachers of old saying, if you've never come to the light of tithing, then you don't know what a blessing it is. And some of you would say, that was weak as all get out. Because now I know I'm meddling, right? When you get weak on me. No. See, he had given them all of these things essential for life. We know that a job is essential for life. We know the paycheck is essential for life. We know all that. But I can also assure you of this, that God will always take care of his children. Amen? He will always take care of his children. So what he has given us, we don't need to go out and squander it and use it for something else other than him. I would say to you, if God has blessed you with a paycheck, don't go to Cherokee. I know I heard some giggles there. Would you? No, you don't go squander what God has given you. He's given us that so that we can use it back for his cause. So let's make sure that we do that. So we lose the blessing of the corn and the wine and the things essential for life. We lose that. We also lose the blessings of the upper and nether springs. You ever heard of that? These are things you probably never heard of. You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, turn to Joshua 15:19. Joshua 15:19. You'll want to mark this. Here's what he says. who answered, give me a blessing. There it is. Give me a blessing. Now, I want you to sit right where you are right now, not reading anything else out there. Just, we'll read it together. I know you've already read it all by now. But I want you to say, Lord, give me a blessing. Yeah, just say that to him. Lord, give me a blessing. Now, are you willing to accept the blessing? If we're going to ask for it, we have to be willing to accept it. But then how do you get it? You get it by reversing what we just went over to lose it. You keep his covenant. You stay in his law. You live by those things that they broke. You don't take anything else into your life that'll take the time from God. You don't make compromises with this world. That's how we are there. So he says, who answered, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. I love springs of water, don't you? And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now you got to know what that is, don't you? Upper springs and the nether springs. Well, when you look those up, here's what it is. Since we know that the corn and the oil and the wine were essential for life, what are these upper and nether springs essential for? Well, the upper springs were the unfailing joy that God gives us. When you look that up, you'll find out that it has to do with the joy that God gives you. I love joy, don't you? I love to know that inside my heart, there is a joy. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart too. Yeah. I want it to stay. I don't want that joy to go away. Do you? I want it there. Well, when they asked for the upper springs, they got the upper springs. He gave them the upper springs. He gave them the joy that comes from him. By the way, the unfailing joy is the only way you're going to get it, is come get it from him. You may get a little joy from something you do on vacation. You may get a little joy from something you just love doing every week. But I'm talking about unfailing, which won't go away. Then he says, I want to give you something else. I want to give you something that spiritually means peace. So he gave them the nether springs. The nether springs is a great place for peace. Where do you get your peace? You say, well, I get my peace when I sit down with a book and nobody else around, just me and my book, and I read. I would say that's a good thing to do, but that's not the spiritual definition of the nether springs. That's not the good definition of true peace. It's good for as long as the book lasts. As long as you're sitting there with nobody calling you and nobody coming by messing up your day, and you're sitting there with your book, just you and the book, and you love that book and you're reading it. But then the book comes to a place it says, the end. Well, the peace you were getting out of that book is not the peace I'm talking about. I'm talking about the nether springs, the unfailing, unending peace. You want that? That's a place of blessing, folks. If your life is not a life of joy and peace, you don't have the blessed life. You're not living the blessed life. So they lost that. That's what they did when they decided they weren't going to live by the covenant they made with him. They weren't going to live by his word. They were going to take on other gods. They were going to compromise. When they decided to do that, they lost the upper and nether springs. They lost the joy that they had. And I'm going to take you a place here in just a minute that you're going to like. How many of y'all like honey? Boy, honey's good. But have you ever wondered what the spiritual meaning of honey is? Well, as I was studying for this message, sometimes it happens. I wrote down a note, and I wrote down message, and I wrote down the honeycomb. So y'all be praying about that, okay? The honeycomb. I think there's more there than we know. But the Bible speaks of honey. The blessing of Canaan's honey, they lost it. They didn't have that because they decided they weren't going to do what God said, so they lost that. Honey is an unfailing sweetness. The sweetness will never go away from honey. Never. Ever. You say, well, I've got honey and it turned to... Made my point. Even when it begins to die, it turns into sugar. It's sweet. It never fails. It's unfailing sweetness. But it's a natural sweetness. It's not something you have to drum up. When you fail to stay where you need to be with God, you lose that natural sweetness in your life. Are people dying to see somebody with a natural sweetness? With something that comes from them that just oozes, if I could use the honey thing, that just oozes from them. I love honey. I sweeten about everything with honey. And when I'm pouring it out of the jar and I don't cut it off real good and it drips over the edge, I take my finger and I make sure I get that thing clean. Yeah. Any of y'all do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't want to lose any of that sweet honey. That's the best stuff ever. Well, here's what happens. It's a natural sweetener. It is so good and so sweet, and it never spoils. Never. Even when it's turned to sugar, it's not spoiled. Put it in the microwave. Put it in a pan of hot water. It'll come back. You know that, don't you? Yeah. It never spoils, and it never turns bitter. Now, I'm telling you a little bit about your life. If you have had some bitter moments in the last week, you need to fix that because that's not the place of blessing, and that's not the place of honey. That's not where God wants us to be. So if there's some bitterness in your life or your life has spoiled somewhat, know that you're not living the honey life. Okay, and that's the life of blessing. Let's just get back there. I think it was last week or the week before, I preached on Psalm 137. Does anybody remember that, Psalm 137? If you marked it, that's good. If you didn't, I want you to mark it today. And I want you to mark Psalm 137, and let's look at verses 1 to 4, okay? Are you there yet? I always ask you that. Now, you'll notice that Psalm 137 takes us right to the very place where we are today for the captives of Babylon. And here's what it says. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Now, it's all coming back to you that I just did this a week or so ago, right? There we sat down, yea, we wept. Now, if you're living the life of blessing and not the life of defeat, you're probably not going to sit down and just cry. There's something wrong if you just sit down and cry. And sometimes you may have a reason to sit down and cry. I'm not saying you don't. But I'm saying if your life is though that you're a captive of Satan and something that you need to be relieved from, and you just sit down and you just cry, you're not a happy individual. You're not a blessed individual. When we remembered Zion, they were in captive and they remembered what it was like to be back home. Don't you love to remember how it was when you first got saved? Can you remember? You remember how it was the moment he forgave you of your sin of unbelief and took that away, and the burden of sin was, you were so relieved by that. What a feeling that was. So they were thinking back home like when that was where they were. They're not now, they're in captivity. Here's what they did back home. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. That was a big mistake for them. They gave up the music in their life. They gave up the song in their life. They had a song to sing. What was the number of that song in the book? 44. Don't forget that. It's like a pistol, a 44 pistol. Remember in the red book you're in, We gave you that so you would know why you don't have a song or how to have a song. For there they carried us away into captivity, and they required of us a song. You will sing a song. Now, what song did they want them to sing to them? Oh, they wanted the same songs that blessed them back home. It wasn't for the same reason, you understand, because they understood what they were doing. It's like forcing someone to do something they don't want to do. They're not going to be a happy people. It said, for there they carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirror, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They had gone from blessing to defeated. And in their defeated methods, the enemy was saying, oh, you need to sing us a song. They were remembering the songs. They remembered them. But folks, when you're in captivity, it's hard to sing, isn't it? Hard to sing. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The strange land is a defeated land. If that's where you are, you're not where God wants you. You're outside the borders of where he wants you. He wants you in the land of the blessed. He wants you to live a blessed life. And if there's defeating going on in your life, he wants you away from that. He's got to get you out of that. Satan wants to keep you there, but God wants you out of it. And what he said there was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we do that? We can't. We can't. You won't feel blessed. You won't look blessed. You won't sound blessed. And so anybody who comes in contact with you will hear the same thing from you they can hear from the rest of the world. Folks, they need to hear about the Lord from our lives. They do. Let us pray. Really blessed. I'm talking about so blessed that when you walk out the door, you're looking for someone to say, I know a man who can change your life, who can give you what you need for a blessed life. I went into the grocery store yesterday, and the young lady was ringing up my items, and she said, how are you today? And I said, I'm blessed. She said, that sounds so good. She said, about everybody that's been coming through today is so grouchy and grumpy. And I said, well, I'm glad that I can tell you that I'm blessed. And she said, I am too. That's where we need to be. That's what this whole world needs, folks. They need to see a people who are blessed and are living blessed. God, we thank you for giving us this message to remind us again that if we're going to go out and win the lost at any cost, if we're going to go out and witness, if we're going to go out and go fishing, Lord, we need to go out as a blessed people. And we can't do that if we're not in your will, living in your word, keeping the covenant we made with you. Thank you, Lord, for putting us back on track. Thank you, Lord, for putting us where we need to be so that we can be a blessed people, a blessed church, blessed individuals. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you're going to do in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.